You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
Cypress Creek Church, can you please help me welcome up Karen, Sue, Sahaley, Dave, and Peter Eubank back to Cypress Creek Church. Welcome you guys. Welcome home. Yesterday we hung out just for a little bit at Blue Hole and they just finished a mud football match as a family. The American football, but maybe one day we can play some real football, if God wills. And they're Aggies too, so I think you're a little excited about the season that is happening. But welcome home, welcome back. They're hopping on a flight after our third gathering, and so they arrived last night. They wanted to be here with us. And they'll be leaving right after that. And so it truly is an honor every time we get to be with you. And now let's talk about this. That was quite a video, quite a moment that you all experienced. The Burmese army, Dave, that you spoke to on your knees, telling them, hey, I need help from Jesus. You called them friends. These are enemies. Where does that come from? How are you able to love an enemy?
I think only Jesus, that's sure. And so we all have enemies sooner or later, I think. And if you've been hurt enough, only Jesus can heal. And the context of that video, we've been in Burma for over 30 years. And we also just came back from Ukraine because we work in the Middle East, Burma, Ukraine. Burma's the main effort. But I have this little Ukrainian bracelet thing. I never wore bracelets until then. But that's the colors of their flag. And it was given by a young lady that said, don't feed your faith. Don't feed your fear. Feed your faith. And I bring up Ukraine only. We didn't talk about it the other time. Was because when you're in Ukraine getting smoked by the Russians, I mean, hundreds of thousands dead. What the Ukrainian army soldiers often call the Russians are orcs. Because they act like them. But they're not. They're people. And the line of good and evil is in our hearts, not between you and me. And so in that situation in Burma, the Burma military not only dominated that area, they dominated it so long, chased every way, they brought their own families in to own it. And not only Burma Army is fighting us, and as I said in the first service, you know, Pete was there and I, we were taking wounded out of the fighting. And a guy right between us, one of our best guys, was killed. So we lost one of our best guys, one of our team members killed, and eight others wounded, all shot, taking other wounded, 28 dead, over 300 total wounded that came to the casualty collection point that the girls were running with our local medics. And it wasn't just the Burma army that are enemies. The guys you saw in the video with no shirts, those are prisoners. It's not just them that were just trying to kill us. The women and children, many of them had lured in my friends and said, we're going to give up now, and then blew them up. Those women and children are still alive. But they're our enemy. But now they're in big trouble. And so when we went, the girls and our medics are treating the wounded women and kids. And then Sahaley just sang that song, and that kind of broke everything. And I think in life, we often can't fix things, but we can have a choice. Add to the hate and misery or add to the love and beauty. And if we ask Jesus, he'll show you how to do that.
So good. Karen, what would you add to that? You're in the front lines, as we saw in the video, often. You're also with a lot of the kids. Good News Clubs is something that you guys do. And so you're able to bless the family. How has God spoken to you? How has he softened your heart as you're taking care of these precious children before the Lord?
They are women and children, and they pull at your heart because they have such needs, and I can relate to them. At the same time, in some of our experiences, especially the Middle East, the women and children are pretty formidable, and you know that they could definitely act out of their anger and vengeance very seriously. So on one hand, you feel sympathy. On the other hand, you're afraid. And I think what's touched me and what we did in one of our kids' programs, because I believe in it so well, is that the Saul does become a Paul. And that is an example that only God can enact in history and in our lives and in the enemy. And we did a kids' program for that drama to say, your enemy can change their heart. Never lose hope that your enemy can change their heart and God can do that. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity talks a whole chapter on forgiveness, and I definitely recommend it. It's a great example of how you care for the humanity in other people, just like you hate the sin in your own life and want it to be gone, you want the sin in someone else's life to be gone too, so you see them in God's image.
Yeah, that's so good. So Haley, you have a beautiful gift that God's given to you, your voice, and there's no doubt, I felt that when I was watching the video, when you're singing, there's healing that is occurring. Tell us a little bit more about where that came from, what was going through your heart as you were singing before those women and children.
I felt that in that moment, we didn't have a lot to give them. They were prisoners of war along with the rest of their families, but we had all lost people. We had just lost one of our good friends to one of their airstrikes, and they had lost their families and husbands because of what they were trying to do and how they were trying to kill us. And so I felt I only had the song to give, and I didn't realize they would recognize it so much. But they did, and when they heard it, they all started to cry. Maybe not really because they felt guilty or they felt sorry, but because they had lost so much. And there was a lot of grief. And I felt that in that moment, it was a blessing for all of us to be able to cry together. Because when you're able to cry together, you're able to love each other better.
Let's double click on that, because what you experienced is very similar to these verses. And only God can line this up, but you have Stephen, who people are weeping over, they're burying, and then you have Saul, who is ravaging the church, wanting vengeance and violence. Let's talk about that vengeance and the difference between vengeance and justice, but before, let's take a moment and talk about the power of grief. Sue, we talked about this a little bit in the first gathering. I mean, we don't grieve well, especially in this culture. And even in Christian culture, we can say, well, God works all things together for good. Well, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it. You know, we turn, I'm guilty, I'm an optimist, I just want things to be good. And yet we see that was Stephen with Jesus? Yes. But it says that they were mourning him deeply. And so teach us. You all have seen loss here recently, but you've seen loss throughout your ministry. What is the power of grief in those moments?
Yeah, for me, I'm very comforted by the fact that God, when he calls you to certain places, and for me, that's not just going physically, but also emotionally and being his hands and feet, he doesn't call you there without his help and to be doing it all on your own strength. And so something that I rely on often is just being a vessel. And there's so many times when I've ended up in situations like in the video when we had just grieved our friend that we had lost. And I felt like, Lord, I have nothing of myself that I can give that is even good. And I was, so fatigued and full of sorrow from that week, and I knew that they were as well. And so a verse that comes to mind often in those moments is that Jesus wept, and that was intentional. And I often fall back on just being just a child of God who is called into those situations where all I can give is my mourning. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And so to come beside someone and to divide the grief together is something that I've experienced in that situation. And just trying to be Jesus to people and coming alongside them and not taking for granted those opportunities that God says, this is a moment to grieve, and to lean into that and to rest in that, because we're not that strong as people. I'm definitely not that strong and quick to cry. And so I'm comforted that God says, this is a moment, and to really lean into it.
Do you think that's what holds us back from grieving, is a desire or maybe an expectation that we put on ourselves to be strong?
Oh, for sure. I think to be strong, and then also to just brush off the fact of the intensity of the situation, that might not make sense, but to step away from the opportunity to really lean into, okay, what is actually happening? Lord, what is the truth of this situation, and what do you say about this? And not to just avoid it and keep moving at a fast pace. And I think we do that with grief and also opportunities to love other people. It's a lot faster to just throw a label on something and walk away, but to ask God, what do you say is the truth about the situation? And then lean into that, I think, is where God's miracles happen.
That's so good. I love that you mentioned John 11, too. The shortest verse in the Bible, it's a good one to remember. Jesus wept, but often it's a long process that we go through when we're mourning and we're grieving. And what does Jesus do right after he weeps? He raises his friend from the dead. And in that verse, it actually says that he's deeply moved. He's angry at death, and that's why he's moved by this passion within him to bring out Lazarus out of death, which foreshadows his own resurrection and the power that we have in faith over death. Peter, let's talk about how you've done that, grieving and then having to serve maybe the person that's caused the grief. How do you handle that?
I would say everything, every emotion, and everything, every feeling that God wants you to have will come through him. And for me, I've experienced, in terms of grieving, the more you close off your heart to other people, the less you have to feel. And so it's a great short-term solution because you don't have to feel anything. I don't really have to give that much. But then you're also closing yourself off from Jesus. You're closing yourself off from what he wants to give you. And it's also not what he calls us to be. And especially as men, we want to be like super strong. There's a time and a place for emotion, but God will give it to you, and he'll let you know how much he wants you to grieve, when, and where, especially. And in terms of serving other people that have wronged you, or serving people that you have to forgive, the more, especially if you're right, you're standing in the right, the more that you're self-righteous, and the more that you are righteous, the harder it is to forgive because you feel like you don't need to at all. Because they've done everything wrong and you don't need to. So the more you stand on your own righteousness, the harder it is to forgive, even though God says forgive no matter what. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Two-way street, sadly, but that's Jesus. And without him, we're screwed.
As the microphone goes back to Dave, let me just say, a couple years ago, they were in middle school, and we were in the back. Do y'all remember that? You probably don't. Good. I do. Here's why. Because we were talking about our summers, and y'all were there just that one Sunday, and everyone was like, yeah, I went to the beach with my grandparents, and I played with my friends, and then it was y'all two who answered. Well, we went hunting in the mountains of Alaska for caribou, and y'all have just been raised different. And I praise God for that because we're looking out into many in the next generation. And for those in the generations above, can we just praise God that there is hope in the next generation, that the gospel is alive and well and taking a hold of hearts, that we're going to be okay because y'all have raised incredible children. And so I'd love to now delve into this idea of justice versus revenge, vengeance. And again, you said something very profound, Dave, here's how I heard it. You said it different, that we draw lines and we say, oh, enemy, friend. But the real line is me and God. And we need to remember that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were his enemies, and yet he extended kindness. So many of us may get that. Many of us may need to remember that leaving today. But how do we handle injustice? And what is the difference between justice and vengeance?
Yeah. Just for context, 1979, I first came here as a freshman cadet.
To Wimberley?
Wimberley. Wow. This building wasn't here.
No.
And we've been involved with y'all.
Neither was I.
Yeah. Involved with y'all in one form or the other for all those years. And then we were invited to Burma in 1992, and that's when Karen and I first went. But we've been other places. We also, our main work is Burma, but we're also in Ukraine and Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and then Iraq and Syria. And it was in Syria that God gave me two big gifts, in Iraq, in the Battle of Mosul against ISIS, a terrorist group, 2015 to 19. And two things. One is to love the Iraqi people. I didn't even know who they were. And you know, we fought them a couple times. I love them. prejudicially. Like I see an Iraqi in the airport, I'm like, where are you from, man? They're like, Iraq. You're my brother. You're my sister. God, what a gift of God to give any of us love just for a group. Yeah. It's not even fair. Yeah. So that's awesome. And the second gift he taught me, this is after, and we, our job is physically humanitarian assistance, medical and otherwise. We're not there to fight anybody, but we ended up fighting ISIS. They did come on us. And so we had fought them. But I did not hate them. And until they killed a family right in front of me. And I thought, justice is go after these guys. You know, after our food distribution or whatever, killed every single ISIS. They killed a kid that I knew. And I was pretty sure that was right. That's justice, right? Who would say it's not justice? And I prayed, God, show me the truth of this. And the next morning, we're getting ready to roll with the Iraqi army again. And I opened up my Kindle, and I even went to seminary, but I guarantee you know more scripture than I do. That's just a fact. But I did this. I did my non-seminary technique. Lord, boom. And it said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay.
There it is. Yeah.
So I did it again at a different place. He would know. I don't know where. Boom. Another thing. Three times in three different places in the Bible, I found the same words. Random.
Vengeance is mine.
It wasn't random. Because suddenly I realized what I called justice was revenge. And I said, Jesus, I give up revenge. Forgive me. And the moment I said it, a 2,000-pound weight off my shoulder, and I didn't know I had the weight. That's the worst kind of sin, right? When you don't even know, again, what Pete said, your own self-righteousness, and they're evil too, blinds you to other truths. And as soon as I said it, he just took it like surgery. It was gone. And I realized justice, the difference is, justice is about love. Revenge is about hate. We can't handle hate. Yeah. Can't handle it. That's the devil stuff. He will smoke you in the end. It'll come in a circle. But justice is, this person wronged me. It is wrong. Justice should be done. But what's the best way for their sake? What if that was my kid that did it? What if it was my daughter or son that did evil to me? I would react very differently than with a stranger. And so the difference is love. Hmm. And God will help us forgive. And justice might mean someone goes to prison. But the way they go will be out of love.
Trying to respond to that. The weight that hate burdens us with is something that turns us into like the enemy. But when we love and give grace and say, Lord, vengeance is yours, he can handle that burden. He is just. And thank God he is slow to anger for our sake. Because if he was quick to anger, in your words, we'd all be smoked. We'd all be smoked. We wouldn't be here. So giving that to him, allowing us to be a part of his plan and extend love, not hate. We're wrapping up. I wish we had more time. I'd love for y'all to encourage. We have many generations here. We have many walks here, those that are still thinking about following Jesus, just started following Jesus, have been following Jesus for decades. How can you encourage us that are living in this, it's almost two different worlds, in this world as God continues to lead you living in the world, that part of the world that he's called you to?
Looking at y'all and knowing you and so many others, Lynn's in here somewhere. That's where we stay, the Johnson Ranch. What an awesome family. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Yesterday you asked me, give a word of encouragement. I just started praying as you asked me, what's the word? And I just felt God speak to me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Go make more. Bring more people into my house, into my relationship. And so I want to encourage y'all, just keep going. And your own sins and my sins does not stop the power of God. You just confess them. Yeah. In that little prayer room, instead of doing this, you take your sin and give it to him and say, forgive me and use me. So, I wanted to say also, my dad wrote this book. It's really cool. I'm going to give it to you. And you can get this on Amazon if you want it. It's my book. Not that cool. But they're both stories about God working in our lives in spite of our sin, in spite of our weaknesses. He has the power. And he can make us friends. You know, some of you all have had enemies. that you want to smoke. But I've often thought, wouldn't it be better if my enemy just got on his knees and said, Jesus, help me? That's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So thanks. Yeah. So that my encouragement is keep going.
I want to do this to close. I think it would be appropriate, powerful for us to pray over them, bless them, and afterwards we'll have an opportunity to respond in worship. So can I ask everybody to rise to their feet as we bless and pray God's protection and mercies. If you feel comfortable, extend a hand out as we lift up this family up to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have called them to places that many of us will never go to. You have called them to such a specific mission, Lord. And we just thank you for their obedience and their example of what it looks like to enter into your plan with boldness, with courage, with humility, and with your love. Father, may you protect them. As they leave from here and go to their next place, may you watch over their every step. May you preserve them, Lord. And may they continue to boldly proclaim this message that Jesus is Lord, that there is no other name by which man can be saved but the man, God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live a perfect life, to die for us who are imperfect so that we can know what true life is. May you bolden their platform, God, and continue to speak to them and show them which way to go, which door to open, which door to walk through, which door to close. We lift them up to you, Father, and we pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Can we give them a hand and thank them for being with us this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to close in worship. And here's how I want us to close and respond. I want us to consider where we are with God. Before we think about the enemy, before we think about that person that came to mind, it may not be someone that is of a different ethnicity, or it may not be somebody that's, it may be just somebody that is of a different political party or hates us in our own family. That maybe something said struck this sense of, but I'm right. Love what Peter said. Truly, only one is right, and that is Jesus. And because of what he's done for us, now we are righteous under him. But what would it look like for a people? Imagine this many people truly embracing this gospel and extending forgiveness to someone in their life. I want to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to worship. And if you, someone in this room, like, yeah, I need to forgive, but first I need to ask for forgiveness because I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. What a powerful morning to hand the keys to our life to the one who authored it and perfected it. And so if that's you, I'm so glad that you're here. I want to lead you in a short prayer. And it's only an external way of showing what God is doing inwardly, because in Romans it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, we will be saved. And so if that's you with hands outward, if you want to do that, I want to lead you in the short prayer, repeating these words after me. Jesus, today I give you my life. I believe that I was an enemy, but because of your life, death, and resurrection, you now call me friend. I choose to follow you today onwards in Jesus' name. And if anyone said that prayer for the first time, I encourage you, come up for prayer. And if you've already said that prayer and you need more prayer as we worship, come up to pray. Jesus, we yield the rest of our time to you as we worship.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.